I was hoping there was a photograph. Such a pretty thing, always smiling. She was married to one of my cousins, a Johnson, when I met her, and I was in business with him a while. He and I, Meg and Evie, used to get together Saturday nights for pinochle and beer or such, and after a while, we traded, legal and proper, and through the courts, when Meg decided that she liked, Jack? Yes, Jack, that well, and Evelyn wasn't averse. Didn't affect our business relations. Didn't even break up our pinochle game. Son, one of the best things about the Howard families is that we got cured of the poisonous vice of jealousy generations ahead of the rest of the race. Had to, things being the way they were. Sure, there ain't a stereo pic of her around, or a hologram. The foundation started taking record pictures for marriage physical exams somewhere around then. I'll look into it, I told him. Then I had what seemed a brilliant idea. Lazarus, as we all know, the same physical types show up time and again in the families. I'll ask archives for a list of Evelyn Foote's female descendants living on Secundus. It is highly probable that one of them will seem like her identical twin, even to the happy smile and the sweet disposition. Then, if you'll consent to full rejuvenation, I'm sure she would be as willing as Ishtar to dissolve any present contractual... The senior chopped me off. I said something new, Ira. There's no going back, ever. Sure you might find such a girl, one who would match my memory of Evelyn to 10 significant figures, but it would lack an important factor. My youth. But if you finish rejuvenation... Oh, hush up. You can give me new kidneys and a new liver and a new heart. You can wash the brown stains of age out of my brain and add tissue from my clone to make up for what I've lost. You can give me a whole new clone body, but it won't make me that young fella who took innocent pleasure in beer and pinochle and a pretty plump wife. All I have in common with him is continuity of memory. And not much of that. Forget it. I said quietly, Ancestor, whether you wish to be married to Evelyn Foote again or not, you know, and I know, for I've been through it, too, twice, we both know that the full routine restores youthful zest in life, as well as restoring the body as a machine. Lazarus Long looked gloomy. Yeah, sure. It cures everything but boredom. Damn it, boy, you had no right to interfere with my karma. He sighed. But I can't hang in limbo, either. So tell him to get on with it. The works. I was taken by surprise. May I record that, sir? You heard me say it. But that doesn't get you off the hook. You still have to show up and listen to my maunderings until I'm so rejuvenated that I'm cured of such childish behavior. And you still have to go on with that research. To find something new, I mean.
Agreed on both points, sir.
You had my promise. Now, one moment while I tell my computer. She's already heard me, hasn't she? Lazarus added. Doesn't she have a name? Haven't you given her one? Oh, certainly. I could not deal with her all these years without animism. Fallacy, though it is. Not a fallacy, Ira. Machines are human because they are made in our image. They share both our virtues and our faults, magnified.
I've never tried to rationalize it, Lazarus, but Minerva, that's her formal name, she's Little Nag in private because one of her duties is to remind me of obligations I would rather forget. Minerva does feel human to me. She's closer to me than any of my wives have been. No, she has not registered your decision. She simply placed it in her temporaries. Minerva?
See, Ira.
Speak English, please. Retrieve the senior's decision to undergo full antigeria. File it in your permanence, transmit it to archives, and to the Howard Rejuvenation Clinic for action.
Completed, Mr. Weatherall. Congratulations. And felicitations to you, senior. May you live as long as you wish, and love as long as you live.
Lazarus looked suddenly interested, which did not surprise me, because Minerva surprises me quite frequently, even after a century of being married to her, in all but fact.
Why, thank you, Minerva. But you startled me, girl. Nobody talks about love anymore. That's a major thing wrong with this century. How did you happen to offer me that ancient sentiment?
It seems appropriate, Senior. Was I mistaken?
Oh, not at all. And call me Lazarus. But tell me, what do you know of love? What is love?
In classic English, Lazarus, your second question can be answered in many ways. In lingua galacta, it cannot be answered explicitly at all. Shall we discard all definitions in which the verb to like is as appropriate as the verb to love?
Huh? Yeah, certainly. We are talking about I love apple pie, or even I love music. Whatever it is we are talking about, it's love, the way you used it in the old-style well-wishing.
Agreed, Lazarus. Then what remains must be divided into two categories, eros and agape, and each defined separately. I cannot know what eros is through direct knowledge, as I lack both body and biochemistry to experience it. I can offer nothing but intentional definitions in terms of other words, or extensional definitions expressed in incomplete statistics. But in both cases, I would not be able to verify such definitions, since I have no sex.
The hell she doesn't, I muttered into my scarf. She's as female as a cat in heat. But technically she was correct, and I've often felt that it was a shame that Minerva could not experience the pleasures of sex, as she was much more fitted to appreciate them than some human females, all glands and no empathy. But I had never said this to anyone. Animism, of a particularly futile sort. A wish to marry a machine, as ridiculous as a little boy who digs a hole in the garden, then bawls because he can't take it into the house. Lazarus was right. I am not smart enough to run a planet. But who is? Lazarus said, with deep interest, Let's, table Eros for a moment, Minerva. The way you phrased that seemed to include the presumption that you could experience agape, or can, or have, or perhaps do.
It is possible that I was presumptuous in my phrasing, Lazarus. Lazarus snorted, then chopped it off and spoke in such a fashion as to cause me to think that the old man was not quite sane, save that I am not sane myself, when the wind sets from that quarter, or perhaps his long years had made him almost telepathic, even with machines.
Forgive me, Minerva, he said gently. I was not laughing at you, but at the play on words with which you answered me. I withdraw my question. It is never proper to quiz a lady about her love life, and while you may not be a woman, dear, you are certainly a lady. Then he turned to me, and what he said next confirmed that he had guessed the secret I share with my little nag. Ira, does Minerva have Turing potential?
Huh?
Certainly. Then I urge you to tell her to use it. If you leveled with me when you said you intended to migrate, come what may. Have you thought it through?
Thought it through? My resolution is firm, I told you so.
Not quite what I mean. I don't know who holds title to the hardware that expresses itself as Minerva. The trustees, I assume. But I suggest that you tell her to start duplicating her memories and logics. And as she twins, start storing her other self aboard my yacht, Dora. Minerva will know what circuits and materials she needs, and Dora will know what space is available. Plenty, since memories and logics are all that matter. Minerva won't twin her extensionals. But start it at once, Ira. You won't be happy without Minerva. None after being dependent on her for a century, more or less. Nor did I think so. But I tried, feebly, to resist. Lazarus, now that you have agreed to full rejuvenation, I won't be inheriting your yacht. Not in the foreseeable future, whereas I intend to migrate right away. Not more than 10 years from now. So what? If I'm dead, you inherit. And I haven't promised to keep my hands off that suicide switch more than 1,000 days, no matter how patient you are in visiting me. But if I'm alive, I promise you, and Minerva, a free ride to whatever planet you pick. In the meantime, look around to your left,
Our girl Ishtar is almost wetting her pants trying to get your attention. I don't think she's wearing any.
I looked around. The administrator for rejuvenation had a paper which she seemed eager to show me. I accepted it in deference to her rank, although I had left orders with my executive deputy that I must never be disturbed while with the senior for any reason short of armed rebellion. I glanced at it, signed my chop, thumbprinted it, and handed it back. She beamed.
"Just paperwork," I told Lazarus. "Some clerk has taken all this time to turn your registered assent into a written order. Do you want them to go right ahead? Oh, not this minute, but tonight."
"Well, I'd like to go house hunting tomorrow, Ira."
"You're not comfortable here? Tell me what you want changed. It will be done at once."
He shrugged.
"Nothing wrong with this place, except that it's too much like a hospital, or a jail. Ira, I'm darn well certain they've done more to me than shoot me full of new blood. I'm well enough to be an outpatient, live elsewhere, and come here only as the schedule calls for it."
"Well, will you excuse me while I talk Galacta a bit? I want to discuss the practical aspects with your technician in charge."
"Will you excuse me, Ira, if I point out that you've left a lady waiting? That discussion can wait. But Minerva knows that I suggested that you have her twin herself, so that she can migrate with you, but you haven't said yes, no, or make me a better offer. If you're not going to have her do it, it's time you told her to wipe her memory of that part of our conversation before she blows a circuit."
"Oh, Lazarus, she doesn't think about anything she records in this suite unless she is specifically told to."
"Want to bet? No doubt most subjects she just records, but this one she just has to think about. She can't help herself. Don't you know anything about girls?"
I admitted that I did not.
"But I know what instructions I gave her about keeping records on the senior."
"Let's check. Minerva."
"Yes, Lazarus."
"A few moments ago, I asked Ira about your touring potential. Have you thought about the conversation that followed?"
I swear that she hesitated, which is ridiculous. A nanosecond is longer to her than a second is to me. Besides, she never hesitates. Never. She answered, "My programming on the doctrine covered by the inquiry reads as follows. Quote, do not analyze, collate, transmit, nor in any wise manipulate data stored under control program except when specific sub-programming is inserted by Chairman Pro Tem. End of quote.
"Tut, tut, dear," Lazarus said gently. "You did not answer. That was deliberate evasion. But you are not used to lying, are you?"
"I am not used to lying, Lazarus."
I said almost roughly, "Minerva, answer the senior's first question."
"Lazarus, I have been and am now thinking about that designated portion of conversation."
Lazarus cocked an eyebrow at me.
"Will you instruct her to answer one more question from me, truthfully?"
I was feeling quite shaken. Minerva surprises me, yes, but never with evasions.
"Minerva, you will always answer any question put to you by the senior fully, correctly, and responsively. Acknowledge program." "New subprogram received, placed in permanent, keyed to the senior, and acknowledged, Ira."
"Son, you didn't have to go that far. You'll be sorry. I asked for just one question."
"I intended to go that far, sir," I answered stiffly.
"On your own head be it. Minerva, if Ira migrates without you, what will you do?"
She answered at once and quite tonelessly. "In such event, I will self-program to destroy myself." I was not just surprised, I was shocked.
"Why?"
She answered softly. "Ira, I will not serve another master." I suppose the silence that followed was not more than a few seconds. It seemed endless. I have not felt so nakedly helpless since my adolescence. I found that the senior was looking at me, shaking his head and looking sorrowful.
"What'd I tell you, son? The same faults, the same virtues, but magnified. Tell her what to do."
"About what?" I answered, stupidly. My personal computer was not working well. "Minerva would do that?
Come, come, she heard my offer, and thought about it, despite all programming. I'm sorry I made the offer in her presence, but my personal computer was not working well. Minerva would do that? Come, come, she heard my offer, and thought about it, despite all programming. I'm sorry I made the offer in her presence, but not too sorry, as you were the one who decided to place a bug on me. It was not my idea. So speak up. Tell her to twin, or tell her not to. And try to tell her why you won't take her with you. If you can. I've never been able to find an answer to that one that a lady was willing to accept. Oh. Minerva, can you duplicate yourself inside a ship? The senior's yacht, specifically. Perhaps you can get her characteristics and specifications from Skyport Records. Do you need her registration number?
I don't need her number, Ira. Sky Yacht Dora. I have all pertinent data to answer. I can. Am I instructed to do so?
Yes, I told her, with a feeling of sudden relief.
New overriding program activated and running, Ira. Thank you, Lazarus.
Whoops, slow down, Minerva. Dora is my ship. I left her asleep on purpose. Have you wakened her?
I did so, Lazarus. By self-program, under new overriding program. But I can tell her to go back to sleep now. I have all data I need at the moment.
You try telling Dora to go back to sleep, and she'll tell you to buzz off. At least. At the very least. Minerva, dear, you goofed. You have no authority to wake my ship.
I am most sorry to disagree with the senior, sir, but I do have authority to take all appropriate actions to carry out any program given to me by Mr. Chairman Pro Tem.
Lazarus frowned.
You mixed her up, Ira. Now you straighten her out. I can't do anything with her.
I sighed. Minerva is rarely difficult, though when she is even more pig-headed than flesh and blood. Minerva!
Waiting orders, Ira.
I am Chairman Pro Tem. You know what that means. The senior is senior, even to me. You will not touch anything of his without his permission. That applies to his yacht, and to his suite, and to anything else of his. You will carry out any program he gives you. If it conflicts with the program I have given you, and you cannot resolve the conflict, you will consult me at once, waking me if I am asleep, interrupting whatever I may be doing. But you will not disobey him. This instruction super overrides all other programs. Acknowledge?
Acknowledged and running, she answered meekly. I'm sorry, Ira.
My fault, little nag, not yours. I should not have given you a new controlling program without noting the senior's prerogatives.
No harm done, kids, Lazarus said. I hope. Minerva, a word of advice, dear. You've never been a passenger on a ship.
No, sir.
You'll find it different from anything you've ever experienced. Here you give orders, in Ira's name. But passengers never give orders, never. Remember it.
Lazarus added to me, Dora's a nice little ship, Ira. Helpful and friendly. She can find her way through multiple space with just a hint. The roughest approximation. And still have all your meals on time. But she needs to feel appreciated. Pet her. And tell her she's a good girl, and she'll wriggle like a puppy. But ignore her, and she'll spill soup on you just to get your attention.
I'll be careful, I agreed.
And you be careful, Minerva, because you are going to need Dora's goodwill much more than she will need yours. You may know far more than she does, I'm sure you do, but you grew up to be chief bureaucrat of a planet while she grew up to be a ship. So what you know doesn't count once you are aboard.
I can learn, Minerva said plainly. I can self-program to learn astrogation and ship handling at once from the planetary library. I'm very bright.
Lazarus sighed again. Ira, do you know the ancient Chinese ideogram for trouble?
I admitted that I did not.
Don't bother to guess. It's two women under one roof. We're going to have problems. Or you will. Minerva, you are not bright. You are stupid when it comes to handling another woman. If you want to learn multiple spaces astrogation, fine. But not from a library. Persuade Dora to teach you. But never forget that she is mistress in her own ship, and don't try to show her how bright you are. Bear in mind, instead, that she likes attention.
I will try, sir. Minerva answered him, with humility she rarely shows to me. Dora wants to get your attention right now.
Uh-oh. What sort of mood is she in?
Not a good mood, Lazarus. I have not admitted that I know where you are, as I am under a standing instruction not to discuss your affairs unnecessarily, but I did accept a message for you without guaranteeing that I could deliver it.
Just right. Ira, the papers with my will include a program to wash me out of Dora's memories without touching her skills. But the trouble you started by grabbing me out of that flophouse is spread. She's awake with her memories intact, and she's probably scared. The message, Minerva?
It's several thousand words, Lazarus, but the semantic content is short. Will you have that first?
Okay, the summary meaning.
Dora wants to know where you are and when you are coming to see her. The rest could be described as onomatopoeic, semantically null but highly emotional, that is to say cursing, pejoratives, and improbable insults in several languages.
Oh, boy.
Including one language I do not know, but from context and delivery, I assume tentatively that it is more of the same, but stronger.
Lazarus covered his face with a hand.
Dora's cussing in Arabic again. Ira, this is worse than I thought.
Sir, shall I replicate just the sounds, not in my vocabularies, or will you have the complete message?
No. Minerva, do you cuss?
I've never had reason to, Lazarus, but I was much impressed by Dora's command of the art.
Don't blame Dora. She was subjected to a bad influence when she was very young. Me.
May I have permission to file her message in my permanence, so that I may cuss if needed?
You do not have permission. If Ira wants you to learn to cuss, he'll teach you himself. Minerva, can you arrange a telephone hookup from my ship to this suite? Ira, I might as well cope with it now. It won't get better.
Lazarus, I can arrange a standard telephone hookup if that is what you want, but Dora could speak to you at once via the duo in your suite that I am now using.
Oh, fine.
Shall I supply her with holographic signal too, or is sound enough?
Sound is enough. More than enough, probably. Will you be able to hear too?
If you wish, Lazarus, but you can have privacy if that is your wish.
Stick around. I may need a referee. Put her on.
Boss? It was the voice of a timid little girl. It made me think of skinned knees and no breasts as yet, and big, tragic eyes.
Lazarus answered, "Right here, baby."
Boss, goddamn your lousy soul to hell. What do you mean by running off and not letting me know where you are? Of all the filthy, flea-bitten...
Pipe down.
The timid little girl voice returned.
Aye, aye, Skipper,
it said, uncertainly.
Where I go and when I go and how long I stay are none of your business. Your business is to pilot and to keep house. That's all.
I heard a sniffle, exactly like a small child sniffing back tears.
Yes, boss.
You were supposed to be asleep. I put you to bed myself.
Somebody woke me. A strange lady.
That was a mistake. But he used bad language to her.
Well, I was scared. I really was, boss. I woke up and thought you had come home, and you weren't anywhere around. Not anywhere. She told on me?
She conveyed your message to me. Fortunately, she did not understand most of your words, but I did. What have I told you about being polite to strangers?
I'm sorry, boss.
Sorry doesn't get the cows milked. Now, adorable Dora, you listen to me. I'm not going to punish you. You were wakened by mistake, and you were scared and lonely, so we'll forget it. But you shouldn't talk that way, not to strangers. This lady, she's a friend of mine, and she wants to be your friend, too. She's a computer.
She is?
Just as you are, dear.
Then she couldn't hurt me, could she? I thought she was inside me, snooping around, so I yelled for you.
She not only couldn't, she would never want to hurt you.
Lazarus raised his voice slightly.
Minerva? Come in, dear, and tell Dora who you are.
My helpmeet's voice, calm and soothing, said, I'm a computer, Dora, called Minerva by my friends, and I hope you'll call me that. I'm terribly sorry I woke you. I'd be scared, too, if someone woke me like that. Minerva never has been asleep in the 100-odd years she's been activated. She rests each part of herself on some schedule I don't need to know, but she herself is always awake, or awake so instantly whenever I speak to her, as not to matter. The ship said, "How do you do, Minerva? I'm sorry I talked the way I did." "I don't remember it, dear, if you did. I heard your skipper say that I transmitted a message from you to him, but it's erased. Now that it's been transmitted. Private message, I suppose." Was Minerva truth-saying? Until she came under Lazarus' influence, I would have said she did not know how to lie. Now I'm not sure. "I'm glad you erased it, Minerva. I'm sorry I talked to you that way. Boss is sore at me about it." Lazarus interrupted.
"Now, now, adorable stop it. We always let water over the bridge lie where Jesus flung it. You know that. Will you be a good girl and go back to sleep?"
"Do I have to?"
"No, you don't even have to place yourself on slow time. But I can't come to see you, or even talk to you, earlier than late tomorrow afternoon. I'm busy today, and we'll be house hunting tomorrow. You can stay awake and bore yourself silly any way you choose. But if you womp up some fake emergency to get my attention, I'll spank you."
"But, boss, you know I never do that."
"I know you do that, little imp. But if you bother me for anything less than somebody trying to break into you, or you catching on fire, you'll regret it. If I can figure out that you've set yourself on fire, you'll catch it twice as hard. Look, dear. Why don't you at least sleep whenever I am asleep? Minerva, can you let Dora know when I go to sleep and when I wake up?"
"Certainly, Lazarus."
"But that doesn't mean you can bother me when I'm awake, Dora, other than for real emergencies. No surprise drills. This is not shipboard routine. We're dirtside and I'm busy. Minerva, how's your time-sharing capacity? Do you play chess?" I put in, "Minerva has ample share-time capacity." But before I could add that she was Secundus champion, unlimited open handicap, with a handicap of Q, Q's B, and K's R, Minerva said,
"Perhaps Dora will teach me to play chess."
Well, Minerva had certainly learned Lazarus' rule for telling the truth selectively. I made note that I must have a serious private talk with her.
"I'd be glad to, Miss Minerva."
Lazarus relaxed. "Fine. You gals get acquainted. So long till tomorrow, Dorable. Now beat it."
Minerva notified us that the yacht was no longer patched in, and Lazarus relaxed. Minerva dropped back to her record-keeping role and kept quiet. Lazarus said apologetically,
"Don't be put off by her childish manners, Ira. You won't find a sharper pilot or a neater ship's housekeeper between here and the Galactic Center. But I had reasons for not letting her grow up in other ways, reasons that won't apply when you take over as her master. She's a good girl. She really is. It's just that she's like a cat that jumps into your lap the instant you sit down. I found her charming. She's a spoiled brat, but it's not her fault. I am practically all the company she's ever had. I get bored by a computer that just grinds out numbers, docile as a slide rule. No company on a long trip. You wanted to speak to Ishtar about my house hunting, I think? Tell her I won't let it interfere with routine. I just want a day off, that's all."
"I'll tell her." I turned to the administrator for rejuvenation and shifted to Galacta, asking her how long it would take to sterilize a suite in the palace and install decontamination equipment for watch standards and visitors. Before she could answer, Lazarus said, "Whoops. Hold it one fiddling minute. I saw you palm that card, Ira."
"I beg your pardon, sir?"
"You tried to slide one in. Decontam is the same word in English as in Galacta. Not that it was news to me. My sense of smell isn't that dead. When a pretty girl leans over me, I expect to smell perfume. But when I can't even smell girl and do smell germicides, well, it's a Dixit and QED. Minerva?"
"Yes, Lazarus."
K
Can you spare me some shared time to give me a refresher when I'm asleep tonight in the 900 basic words of Galacta, or whatever number it takes? You equipped for it?
Certainly, Lazarus.
Thanks, dear. One night you do it. But I'll appreciate vocabulary drill each night until we both think I'm up to adequate proficiency. Can do?
Can do, Lazarus. And will do.
Vocabulary drill each night until we both think I'm up to adequate proficiency. Can do?
Can do, Lazarus. And will do.
Thanks, dear. Over and out. Now, Ira, you see that door? If it doesn't open to my voice, I'm going to attempt to break it down. If I can't, I'm going to check on whether or not that suicide switch is really hooked up by trying it. Because if that door won't open, I am a prisoner, and any promises I made on your assurances that I am a free agent are not binding. But if it does open to my voice, I'll bet you, whatever you like, that there is a decontam chamber beyond it, staffed and ready to function. Say 1,000,000 crowns to keep it interesting? No? He didn't flinch. Let's make it 10,000,000 crowns.
I trust that I did not flinch. I have never had that much money of my own, and a chairman pro tem gets out of the habit of thinking about his own money. There is no need to. I had not asked Minerva about my personal balance for some time. Years, perhaps.
Lazarus, I won't bet. Yes, there is a decontam set up outside. We try to protect you from possible infection without bringing it to your attention. I see that we have failed. I haven't checked on the door.
Lying again, son. You're not good at it.
But if it isn't key to your voice now, it is my oversight.
You've kept me busy. Minerva, if the door to this suite is not key to the senior's voice, correct it immediately.
It is key to his voice, Ira.
I relaxed when I heard how she phrased it. Perhaps a computer that had learned when not to be bluntly truthful was going to be still more of a helpmeet.
Lazarus grinned diabolically.
So, then I'm about to test out the super override program you were a bit hasty in giving her, Minerva.
Awaiting your orders, Senior.
Key the door to my suite so that it opens only to my voice. I'm going out and sashay around while Ira and these kids stay locked inside. If I'm not back in half an hour, you can unlock them.
Conflict, Ira.
Carry out his orders, Minerva.
I tried to keep my voice low and even. Lazarus smiled and stayed in his chair.
No need to show openers, Ira. There is nothing outside I want to see. Minerva, you can put the door back to normal. Let it open to any voice, including mine. Sorry about that conflict, dear. I hope it didn't burn out anything.
No harm done, Lazarus. When I was given that super override instruction, I increased the overload tolerances on my problem-solving network.
You're a smart girl. I'll try to avoid conflict in the future. Ira, you had better remove that super override. It's not fair to Minerva. She feels like a woman with two husbands.
Minerva can handle it, I assured him, more calmly than I felt.
You mean that I had better handle it? I shall. Did you tell Ishtar that I'm going house hunting?
I didn't get that far. I was discussing with her the practicability of your living at the palace.
Now, Ira, palaces don't appeal to me, and being a house guest is still worse. A nuisance, both to host and guest. Tomorrow I'll find a residence Hilton that doesn't cater to tourists or conventions. Then I'll run out to the skyport and see Dora, and pat her up and get her calmed down. The next day or so I'll find a little house way out in the suburbs, one automated enough to be no problem, but with its own garden. Gotta have a garden. I'll have to bribe somebody to move. The house I want won't be standing empty. Do you happen to know how much I still have in Harriman Trust, if anything?
I don't know, but that's no problem. Minerva, set up a drawing account for the senior. Unlimited.
Acknowledged, Ira. Completed. Completion noted. Lazarus, you would not be a nuisance, nor will you find it palatial as long as you avoid the public rooms, as I always do.
Nor will you be anyone's guest. It's called the Executive Palace, but its official name is the Chairman's House.
You will be in residence in your own home. I will be the guest, if anyone.
Hogwash, Ira.
true, Lazarus.
Quit juggling words. I would still be a stranger in a household not truly my own, a guest. I don't buy it.
Lazarus, you said last night, I remembered just in time, the missing day, that you can always do business with anyone who is acting in his own interest and says so.
I think I said usually, rather than always, meaning that we could then look for a way that would serve both of our self-interests.
Then hear me out. You've got me tied down with this Scheherazade bet, as well as a research, to find something new to interest you. Now you've dangled bait under my nose that makes me want to migrate as soon as, well, as soon as possible. It won't take long for the trustees to turn me down concerning a migration of the families. Grandfather, it's nuisance enough to chase over here every day. I don't hanker to trek way out into the boondocks. The commuting would waste what little time you have left me for work. Besides that, it's dangerous.
Living alone? Ira, I've lived alone many times.
Dangerous for me. Assassins. I'm safe at the palace.
The rat who can find his way through that maze hasn't been born.
I'm reasonably safe here inside the clinic, and I can get back and forth in safety, subject only to whims of automatic machinery. But if I make a daily pattern of going to an unfortified house somewhere out in the suburbs, then it is only a matter of time until some crackpot sees it as an opportunity to save the world by picking me off. Oh, he will not live through it. My guards aren't that inefficient. But if I persist in setting myself up as a target, he might get me before they get him. No, Grandfather, I do not choose to be assassinated. The senior looked thoughtful, but not impressed.
I could answer that your safety and convenience have to do with your self-interest, not mine.
True, I admitted. But let me offer what bait I can. It's in my self-interest for you to live in the palace. There I can visit you in perfect safety, even safer than I am here, and commuting becomes a matter of seconds, negligible. I can even ask you, there, to excuse me for a half hour if something urgent comes up. That defines my self-interest. As for yours, sir, would you be interested in a bachelor's cottage, rather small, four rooms, and not especially modern or luxurious, but set in a pleasant garden? 3 hectares? But only the part close to the house is garden. The rest has been allowed to grow wild.
What's the catch, Ira? How modern is not especially? I did say automated, as I am not yet in shape to do for myself. Nor am I patient with the vagaries of servants or the whimsical uncertainties of robots.
Oh, this cottage is sufficiently automated. It simply does not have a lot of fancy extravagances. No servants needed if your tastes are simple. Would you permit the clinic to continue to stand watches on you, if the watchstanders are as pleasant and as pleasantly unobtrusive as these two?
Huh? These kids are all right. I like them. I realize that the clinic wants to keep an eye on me. They probably feel I'm more of a challenge than a client only 300 or 400 years old. That's okay. But you pass the word that I expect to smell perfume, not germicides, or reasonably fresh body odors. I'm not fussy. I repeat, what's the catch?
The hell you aren't fussy, Lazarus. You delight in thinking up impossible conditions. This cottage is rather cluttered with old-fashioned books. The last tenant was eccentric. Did I mention a little stream running through the grounds, one which opens out into a small pool near the house? Not much. But you can take a few strokes in it. Oh, I forgot to mention an old tomcat who thinks he owns the place. But you probably won't see him. He hates most people.
I won't bother him if he wants to be left alone. Cats make good neighbors. You still haven't answered me.
The catch is this, Lazarus. I've been describing the penthouse I built for my own use on the roof of the palace some 90 years back when I decided to keep this job a while. It can be reached only by vertical transport from my usual quarters a couple of stories below it. I've never had time to use it much. You are welcome to it. I stood up. But if you won't take it, then you can consider that I've lost the Scheherazade bet, and you are free to use that termination switch whenever you please, for I'm damned if I'll be a sitting duck for assassination just to cater to your whims.
Sit back down,
No, thank you. I've made a reasonable offer. If you won't take it, you can go to hell in your own way. I won't let you ride my shoulders like the old man of the sea. I can be pushed just so far.
Huh, so I see.
How much of your ancestry am I? About 13%. Considerable convergence.
Only that much? I would have guessed more. Some ways you sound like my gramp. Does my suicide switch go along?
If you want it. I answered as indifferently as I could manage to sound.
Oh, you can jump off the edge. It's a long drop.
I prefer the switch, Ira. I'd hate to change my mind on the way down. Will you fix me up with another transport so that I won't have to go through your apartment? No.
What? Is it all that difficult? What's that, Minerva?
It's not that I can't. I won't. It's an unreasonable request. It won't hurt you to change transports in my foyer. Didn't I make it clear that I am not catering to any more unreasonable whims?
Get your feathers down, son. I accept. Tomorrow, say. Never mind moving that clutter of books. I like old-fashioned bound books. They have more flavor than speedy reads, or projectos, or such. And I'm pleased to find that you're a rat, and not a mouse. Please, sit down.
I did so, pretending reluctance. I felt that I was beginning to gain some grasp of Lazarus. Despite the way he sneered at them, the old scoundrel was an equalitarian at heart, and expressed it by attempting to dominate anyone with whom he came into contact, but was contemptuous of anyone who knuckled under to his bullying. So the only answer was to hit back at him, try to maintain a balance of power, and hope that in time it would reach the stability of mutual respect. I never had cause to change my mind. He was capable of kindness and even affection toward one who accepted a subordinate role, if that person was a child or a female. But he preferred spunk, even from them. A grown male who bent the knee, he neither liked nor trusted. I think this quirk in his character made him very lonely. Presently the senior said, musingly,
"Be nice to live in a house for a while. With a garden. Maybe with a spot where I can stretch a hammock."
Several such spots.
"But I'm doing you out of your hideaway."
"Lazarus, there is enough room on that roof that I could have another cottage assembled out of your sight, if I wanted it. I don't."
"I haven't even been up there for a swim in weeks. It has been at least a year since I slept up there." "Well, I hope you'll feel free to come up and swim, anytime, or whatever."
"I expect to be up there every day, and all day, for the next 1,000 days. Have you forgotten our bet?"
"Oh, that. Ira, you were bitching that my whimsical ways were wasting your valuable time. Do you want to be let off the hook? Not on the other, just on that?"
I laughed at him. "Straighten your kilt, Lazarus. Your self-interest is showing. Meaning you want to be let off the hook. No deal. I intend to get 1,001 days of your memoirs on record. After that, you can jump off the edge or drown yourself in the pool or whatever. But I won't let you welch by pretending to do me a favor. I'm beginning to understand you."
"You are? Oh, that's more than I've ever managed. When you get me figured out, tell me about me. I'll be interested." "That search for something new, Ira. You said you had started it?"
"I didn't say that, Lazarus."
"Well, perhaps you just implied it."
"Not even that. Want to bet? We can ask Minerva for a full printout. Then I'll accept your verdict."
"Let's not tempt a lady into fudging the record, Ira. She's loyal to you, not to me. Despite any super-duper overrides."
"Chicken."
"At every opportunity, Ira. How do you think I've lived so long? I bet only when I'm certain to win or when losing serves my actual purpose. All right. When are you starting that research?"
"I've already started it."
"But you said..." "Oh, no, you didn't. Damn your impudence, boy. All right. What direction are you pushing it?"
"All directions."
"Impossible. You don't have that many people at your disposal. Even assuming that all of them are capable, whereas the person capable of creative thought is less than 1 in 1,000.
No argument. But what about the sort of person that you said was just like us, but magnified? Minerva is director of research on this, Lazarus. I talked it over with her. She's setting it up. All directions. A Zwicky investigation.
Well, yes, she could. I think she could. Whereas even Andy Libby might have found it difficult. How is she designing her morphological box? Yes, she could. I think she could. Whereas even Andy Libby might have found it difficult. How is she designing her morphological box?
I don't know. Shall we ask her?
Only she's ready to be asked, Ira. People get annoyed when interrupted for progress reports. Even Andy Libby used to get irritable if anyone joggled his elbow.
Even the great Libby probably didn't have the timeshare capacity Minerva has. Most brains are merely linear, and I've never heard of any human genius who had more than 3 tracks.
5.
So? Well, you've met more geniuses than I have, but I don't know how many simultaneous tracks Minerva can set up. I simply have never seen her overloaded. Let's ask her. Minerva, have you set up the morpho box for that search for something new for the senior?
Yes, Ira.
Tell us about it.
The preliminary matrix uses 5 dimensions, but with a certainty that auxiliary dimensions will be needed for some pigeonholes. That being noted, there are now 9 by 5 by 13 by 8 by 73, or 341,640 discrete category pockets before auxiliary expansions. For check, the original trinary readout is unit pair, pair, comma, unit, nil, nil, comma, unit, pair, pair, comma, unit, nil, nil, point, nil. Shall I print out decimal and trinary expressions?
I think not, little nag. The day you make a mistake in arithmetic, I'll have to resign. Lazarus?
I'm not interested in pigeonholes, just what is in them. Hit any pay dirt, Minerva?
As stated, Lazarus, your question does not permit specific answer. Shall I print out the categories for your examination?
No. Over 300,000 categories and maybe a dozen words to define each one? We'd be hip-deep in paper.
Lazarus looked thoughtful.
Ira, you might ask Minerva to print it somewhere else before she wipes it. As a book, a big book. 10 or 15 volumes. You could call it, Varieties of Human Experience by, Minerva Weatherall. It would be the sort of thing professors argue over for 1,000 years. I'm not joking, Ira. It should be preserved. I think it's new. It's a job too big for flesh and blood, and I sort of doubt that a computer of Minerva's caliber has ever before been asked to do this sort of Zwicky.
Minerva, would you like that? Preserve your research notes and edit them into a book. Say, a few 100 full-size bound copies in a handsome presentation format, plus micro-perms for libraries on Secundus and elsewhere. For the archives, too. I could ask Justin Foote to write a preface. I was intentionally appealing to her vanity. And if you think computers don't have such human foibles, then I suggest that your experience with them is limited. Minerva always liked to be appreciated, and we two began to be a team only after I realized this. What else can you offer a machine? Higher pay and longer vacations? Let's not be silly. But she surprised me still again, answering in a voice almost as shy as Lazarus' yacht, and quite formally,
Mr. Chairman Pro Tem, would it be proper, and would you grant permission, for me to put on the title page, by Minerva Weatherall?
I said, why certainly, unless you would rather sign it just Minerva.
Lazarus said briskly, Don't be a dumb fool, son. Dear, sign that title page Minerva L. Weatherall. The L stands for long because you, Ira, had a woods cult by one of my daughters on some frontier planet back in the careless days of your youth, and just recently got around to registering the fact in the archives. I'll attest to the registration. Happens I was there at the time. But Dr. Minerva L. Weatherall is now off somewhere where the hell and gone, out doing research for her next magnum opus. Can't be reached for an interview. Ira, You and I will whip up biographical notes for my distinguished granddaughter. Got it?
I simply said yes.
That suit you, girl?
Yes, indeed, Lazarus. Grandfather Lazarus.
Don't bother calling me grandfather. But I want the number one presentation copy. Inscribed to me, dear, to my grandfather Lazarus Long, with love, Minerva L. Weatherall. Is it a deal?
I will be proud and happy to do so, Lazarus. An inscription should be in handwriting, should it not? I can modify the extensional I use to sign official papers for Ira. A mod so that the inscription handwriting will be different from his handwriting.
Fine. If Ira behaves himself, you might consider dedicating the book to him and inscribing a copy to him. But I get the first copy. I'm senior. And I thought it up. But back to the search itself. I'm never going to read that 20-volume opus, Minerva. I'm interested only in results. So tell me what you have so far.
Lazarus, I have tentatively rejected over half the matrix as representing things the archives show that you have done, or things that I assume that you would not wish to do.
Hold it. As a Marine said, if I haven't done it, I'll try it. What are these things you assume I wouldn't want to try? Let's hear them.
Yes, sir. One submatrix, 3,650 pockets, all involve a probably fatal outcome. Probability 99% plus. First, exploring in corpus the interior of a star.
Scratch that one. I'll leave that to physicists. Besides, Lib and I did it once.
The archives did not show it, Lazarus.
Lots of things not in the archives. Go on.
Modification of your genetic pattern to grow an amphibious clone capable of living in ocean waters.
I'm not sure I'm that interested in fish. What's the catch?
Three catches, Lazarus. Each hazardous by less than 99%, but, when taken in series, total almost unity. Such pseudo-human amphibians have been grown, but the viable ones, thus far, strongly resemble very large frogs. The chances of survival of such a creature against other denizens of the deep, figured for Secundus, have been theoretically calculated as even for 17 days, 25% for 34 days, and so on.
I think I could improve those odds, but I never have cared much for Russian roulette. The other hazards?
Installing your brain in the modified clone, then reinserting it into a normal clone at a later time, if you survived.
Scratch that one. If I have to live underwater, I don't want to be a frog. I want to be the biggest, meanest shark in the ocean. Besides, I figure that if living underwater was all that interesting, we would still be there. Give me another sample.
A triple sample, sir. Lost in N space with a ship. Without a ship, but with a suit. And without even a suit.
Scratch them all. I've come closer than I like to think to the first two. And the third is just a silly way to drown in vacuum. Thin and unpleasant. Minerva, the All-Powerful, in his majestic wisdom, whatever that means, made it possible for humans to die peacefully. That being so, unless one is forced to, it is silly to do it the hard way. So scratch drowning in caterpillars and self-immolation and all silly ways to die. Very well, dear. You've convinced me that you know what you're talking about concerning those 99-plus hazards. Scratch them all. I'm interested only in something new, new to me, in which the chances of surviving are better than 50%, and in which a man who stays alert can enhance his chances. For example, I never hankered to go over high falls in a barrel. You can design the barrel to make it relatively safe. Nevertheless, once you start, you are helpless. Which makes it a silly stunt, unless it's the safest way out of a worse predicament. Racing, cars, steeplechase, skis, is more interesting because each calls for skill. Yet I don't fancy that sort of danger either. Danger for the sake of danger is for children who don't really believe they can be killed. Whereas I know I can be. So there are a lot of mountains I'll never climb. Unless I'm trapped, in which case I'll do it. Have done it. The easiest, safest, most chicken way I can figure out. Don't bother with anything in which the prime novelty is danger. Danger is no novelty. It is simply something to be faced when you can't run. How about other pigeonholes in your box?
Lazarus, you could become female.
Huh? I do not think I have ever seen the senior quite so startled. So was I, but the statement was not aimed at me. He went on slowly.
Minerva, I'm not sure what you mean. Surgeons have been turning inadequate males into fake females for more than 2,000 years, and females into fake males almost as long. I'm not attracted by such stunts. For good or bad, I am male. I suppose that every human has wondered how it would feel to be the other sex, but all the plastic surgery and hormone treatments possible won't do it. Those monsters don't reproduce.
I am not speaking of monsters, Lazarus. A true change in sex.
You remind me of a tale I had almost forgotten. Not sure it's true. About a man. Oh, must have been around 2000 A.D. Could be much later because things went to pieces not long after. Supposed to have had his brain moved into a female body. Killed him, of course. Alien tissue rejection.
Lazarus, this would not involve that hazard. It would be done with your own clone.
Not bloody likely. Keep talking.
Lazarus, this has been tested on animals other than H. sapiens. It works best in changing a male to a female. A single cell is selected for cloning. Before cloning is started, the Y chromosome is removed, and an X chromosome from a second cell of the same zygote is supplied, thus creating a female cell of the same genetic pattern as the zygote, save that the X chromosome is replicated while the Y chromosome is eliminated. The modified cell is then cloned. The result is a true female clone zygote derived from a male original.
There must be a catch,
Lazarus said, frowning. There may be, Lazarus. Certain it is that the basic technique works. There are several created females in the building you are in. Dogs, cats, one sow, others. And most of them have littered successfully. Except when, for example, a derived bitch is bred with a male dog who supplied the cell for cloning. That can produce lethals and monstrosities from the high probability of reinforcing bad recessives.
I should think it would.
Yes, but normal outbreeding does not, as indicated by 73 generations of hamsters descended from one created female. The method has not been adapted to fauna native to Secundus because of their radically different genetic structure.
Never mind Secundus animals. How about men?
Lazarus, I have been able to search the literature only on items released by the Rejuvenation Clinic. The published literature hints at problems in the last stage, activating the female clone zygote with the memories and experiences, the personality, if you prefer that term, of the parent male. When to terminate the parent male, or whether to terminate it at all, suggests several problems, but I am unable to say what research has been suppressed.
Lazarus turned to me. Do you permit that, Ira? Suppression of research?
I don't interfere, Lazarus. But I didn't know this research was going on. Let's find out. I turned to the administrator for rejuvenation, shifted to Galacta, and explained what we had been discussing and asked what progress had been made with humans. I turned back with my ears burning. As soon as I mentioned humans in this connection, she had interrupted me abruptly, as if I had said something offensive, and stated that such experimentation was prescribed. I translated her answer. Lazarus nodded.
I read the kid's face. I could see the answer was no. Well, Minerva, that seems to be that. I'm not about to attempt chromosome surgery on myself. Somebody swipe my jackknife.
Perhaps that is not quite the end, Minerva replied. Ira, did you notice that Ishtar said only that such research was prescribed? She did not say that it had not taken place. I have just made a most thorough semantic analysis of the published literature for truth and falsity implications.
I conclude that the probability approaches certainty that much pertinent research on humans has taken place, even though it may no longer be going on. Do you wish to order it released, sir? I am certain that I can freeze their computer quickly enough to prevent erasure, assuming that an erasure program guards it.
Let's not do anything drastic, drawled Lazarus. There may be good reason for a hold on this stuff. I'm forced to assume that these Johnnies know more about it than I do. Besides, I'm not sure I want to be a guinea pig. Let's put it on the back of the fire, Minerva. Ira, I'm not sure I would be me without my Y chromosome. Say nothing of those jolly hints of how you transfer the personality and at what point to kill off the male. Me, that is.
Lazarus.
Yes, Minerva?
The published literature makes one...